This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Garrett Wright.
It's dorky, but it's us.
And Brock Rom.
Being a podcast about video, you'd think we'd do video, but nope. You can do whatever you want in the background.
Lamont and Johnny join us this week to talk about building the Seattle Kraken brand. They discuss their learnings from past experiences, what it's like to move to a new city and understand that fan base, and their vision for a different mindset when it comes to creating and sharing the fan experience.
Let's go at 33. 33 is what we're going to do. All
right. There's that.
I'll take it.
Another one in the books.
All right, here we go.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Happy to be joined today by two folks from the Seattle Kraken, SVP of entertainment experience and production. There we go, Johnny Greco, and VP of entertainment experience and production, Lamont Buford. Thank you guys for having us. Thanks for coming on. That's where you say thanks for having us. What am I doing here? We're gonna do this one more time.
We're off to a great start here.
I like this. This shows that it's real.
This is
good.
It's we're real. Not cutting any of this.
You can't cut this. All right.
No, absolutely not. This is how the show starts.
Oh, boy. All right. One more time.
No, we're keeping it. Come on.
Okay, whatever. We'll keep it.
It's fine. Just shut up and do it again, Brock.
Happy to be joined today by Johnny Greco, SVP of Entertainment Experience and Production, and Lamont Buford, VP of Entertainment Experience and Production for the Seattle Kraken. Guys, thanks for joining us. We're really excited to have you here.
Thank you, guys. Love being here. Awesome to spend some time with Garrett and Brock. Let's rock.
You're two guys that I've wanted to have on for a while because we talked a little bit in the pre-show about what an absolute insane, unique opportunity and challenge the both of you have in building for a brand that for all intents and purposes has never existed before, right? In a stadium that's never existed before. The roof existed, right? But everything else about it, right? It's all brand new. And nobody else is really going through that right now. We talked before last time we think it happened. We think was with the Minnesota Wild 21 years ago. We think, we're not sure, we're not experts. I'm no doctor.
And the Columbus Blue Jackets.
So it's been a while. And obviously technology's changed. Brands have changed. Hockey's changed, 100%. But before we get into all that, I want to dive into both of your backgrounds because you both have made some pretty big stops in your career to get you to this place. So either one of you, just tell me a little bit about your background and the steps you took that got you to this position, to be the one that the Kraken said, yes, these are the two folks that I want to help lead this show and brand build.
Lamont, I'll let you go first, but not after saying Lamont's professional career started after he intercepted Michael Vick twice in a high school game. And then he can keep going after that, but I like to introduce my man that way.
I appreciate that. I hope Michael Vick doesn't hear it because he can still humble brag and flex that he played in the pros forever, and I did not. But, honestly, it's great to be on this podcast with you guys, so thank you guys so much for the invite. And career-wise, I've had an opportunity to, a lot of years, spend a lot of time in hockey. Got my professional start in sports working at Hampton University many moons ago, working with their production department that handled all of the productions on campus. So I did football, men's and women's basketball mainly, but also handled a lot of other campus events, including things for the university president. From there, I was given an awesome opportunity to move to Hershey, Pennsylvania, to be a part of Hershey Entertainment and Resorts, more specifically though, the Hershey Bears, and helping them open up their brand new arena that they were going into, which was the Giant Center. And had a chance to do that, which was really cool. Shout out to Vicky Holquist, who just celebrated her birthday of 50 years. She was the one who basically got me into this. And from that opportunity, I got my call up to the NHL with the St. Louis Blues back in 2008. Had a great time there, left a couple of years before they won the cup. I'm not bitter at all. But then had went down to Arizona with the Coyotes. Spent five seasons down there before the Kraken said, hey, come up here and join this franchise. So I've had a chance to kind of do a lot of hockey, some collegiate sports. But in the meantime, you know, had an opportunity to go do some freelance opportunities in the NFL, some stuff with Major League Baseball, minor league baseball, some NBA. So it's been a lot of fun, a lot of travel. And the career has gone from coast to coast.
I would say that was the ultimate flex, Lamont. And if Mr. Michael Vick is listening, how long did he play in the NFL? Like 10, 12 years, maybe? Sounds like you have a 20 plus year career going, multiple sports. Seems like a bigger flex. Just saying. Brock and Garrett, thanks for having us. This is awesome. Super quick with my own journey. Been super, super lucky to start. Lamont and I both went to Full Sail in different capacities, Full Sail University and down in Orlando. And grateful for all the inclusion and the information they gave us as we went on our journeys. I started with Major League Baseball. Glad I did that one first, because three seasons of baseball feels like 10 years of most other sports. So you get a lot of reps, which is good. I jumped around a little bit. I did Carnival Cruise Lines for a short amount of time. Got to cross the Atlantic Ocean on a ship, which was amazing. And got some opportunities to work some Olympic Games. All because of relationships. I know for a fact, I'm never the smartest one in a room, but when you work hard and you're a good teammate, you get pretty great opportunities. So some of those opportunities included the Columbus Blue Jackets, aforementioned, as one of those teams. I was a couple years late of it opening. I came in season 3 and 4, Cleveland Cavaliers, which was pretty epic. We had an AHL team start there. They were the Lake Erie Monsters, now the Cleveland Monsters. We had AFL, we had Lingerie Football League, we did NCAA games, all kind of owned by the same group, same owner in Dan Gilbert. So we took on all those events. And then I had a really unique opportunity to join WWE for almost 6 years and kicked my butt big time. I thought I was pretty good at what I did, and they reminded me almost every day I wasn't, and I had a lot to learn, and it was in the best way possible. So I appreciated that experience. And then because of relationships, I got a chance to work with the Vegas Golden Knights with some incredible leadership and rope to get weird and try some things there. And they obviously had a historical season, which was really, really wonderful to be a part of. And then had a quick cup of coffee at Madison Square Garden for 9 months with the Rangers and the Knicks. But man, in 9 months, it was a pretty concentrated time of working with people I kind of really admire and learn from. And also it was during the pandemic, which like for all of us, it's just been hard. So you learn a lot about ourselves, you learn about what drives us, and you get really personal and really human really fast, because that was a global thing. It wasn't just a sports entertainment thing. It was hitting all of us. And then I had the incredible opportunity to have Lamont kind of reach out and say, hey, you want to join this party in Seattle? And I was like, oh my God. So honored to be his teammate and honored to be here today with you guys.
I was nervous. I'm not going to lie, guys. See, I had already done this once. And to ask Johnny to come back and like, hey, man, you want to start up another team? And this time we're going to add more to it. You know, we got to build a building too. You're interested. So very happy he said yes.
I think in sports, we all do live events and we're calling shows and we make a bunch of mistakes along the way. We have to have we have to have like really short-term memory. And that was definitely it. Cause I was asking my wife, Amanda, it's like, hey, do we want to do this again? And she's like, you're out of your mind. And I'm like, nah, it was good. Right. We had a good time. Let's do it. So Lamont was persuasive, I guess. I don't know. This is a wild ride. And glad what we signed up for is here. That's for sure.
That's fantastic. I think the backgrounds are diverse and unique, and both of your backgrounds kind of mix well together, right? I think that's what's really interesting, right? You're both not just exclusively from hockey, right? Which I always find interesting. Especially the WWE one, that's a wild one. But talk about, you know, you think about entertainment, right? And fan experience, right? Like that's something pro wrestling holds at a very high standard because that's the product, right? The product is the fan experience, which to a lot when I was doing venue shows, especially when your team wasn't winning, right? Your product a lot of the time is a fan experience, right? When you're winning, it could be a little bit of both, but when you're losing, you're the product, right? So I think there's definitely some crossover there. So you both get to Seattle and you start work. Because I can't even comprehend it. At Notre Dame, we built a new show from the ground up, right? But we had a very established brand, a very established team. We had an established style guide. We had a name and a logo, right? You know, what does that look like when you come in and it's like, well, we haven't announced our name yet. We haven't announced our logo. We may not have a style guide yet. You don't have a stadium yet. And I'm sure this is super abstract because I'm sure there were 20 first steps, but what was the real first step when both of you respectively started?
Well, I had the opportunity to get here a couple weeks before Johnny came on. And I will say that when I came on, there was just so much excitement. I didn't even think about, hey, there's no logo, there's no anything. I'm part of NHL Seattle, so it was pretty cool. But then, you know, the day of the announcement where we kind of kept getting a little bit of hint like, hey, something big is coming. And I remember talking to Johnny. We were like, we don't know what this is, but we can't wait. And sitting at my kitchen counter in Arizona and watching the reveal. And we had just had a staff meeting where they really kind of dropped some nuggets. Now that I think back on it, I was like, man, they really put this out there, but even the announcement to the staff was a mystery. And when they revealed it, like it was one of the greatest moments ever, because it was like, okay, we were just part of witnessing something get birthed into the atmosphere. And it was like that cool moment, you know, us as parents, like when you get to hold your kid for the very first time, you're overjoyed. You're just happy they've got, you know, all their extremities and they're healthy. And so the same type of feeling to see that brand come to life is like, oh my gosh, this is what we get. And then immediately as creatives, you just start creating. And there was so many things that just went through my mind. And I remember talking to Johnny shortly after it was happening. Tears were just coming down like, man, this is exciting. This is great. We get to do this. So, you know, It's so cool to be a part of this unique brand and to see this thing come to life.
It coming to life is the right way to say it, LB. And I do remember and am very grateful for that day when we chatted, because I was not officially on board yet, but I was going to be starting. And I was at the kitchen table with Amanda, or the dining room table with Amanda. And it's like, what's the name going to be? Because there's a lot of ways it could go. And then you hear the name and you're like, what a like entertainment dream, like the Kraken, like what could it be? And what was fun is like, we all respect one another's work, right? Whether it's Husker Vision, whether it's Notre Dame show, Kansas City's, right? Like there's all these great shows out there that we respect and we kind of, you know, appropriate these ideas and get inspired by one another. And you know, that was one where like a lot of people reached out and were like, oh, that name is cool. Like you can do a lot with that. So it was exciting, but you know, the pressure immediately starts because it's like, oh, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to not mess it up? You know, how are you going to do it the right way? And so, yeah, that was like Lamont said, a lot of tears because we're just nerds and we're like, this is going to be great. So we were excited and honored. And then it's all about building your people. Like we could get hired and come on and be like, all right, Lamont, what's our goal song going to be? What should our mascot be? You start doing that before you bring in your team of like exquisite human beings and souls to produce with, to create with, to contribute together. If you do that out of order, it can not land properly. And also they don't get to join you on the ride. It's a fun ride. And Lamont and I, if we're good at one thing, it's good at knowing what we're not good at. So like bringing people in to support and lift us up and rise together, that was definitely a focus, always will be, but definitely early on, it's like, okay, we could talk about all this other stuff. We've all done shows. We've all created opens. We've all, you know, maybe been a part of mascots or whatever, but building a team of your version of what your rock stars are, which aren't everybody else's rock stars. And they might be people at different parts of their careers, but it all comes together. that's one of the most fascinating parts. When you're trying to tell storytellers and creators that you're not just sports people or just hockey people, it's like you are entertainment specialists. You are production extraordinaires. You are smile makers. You start thinking that way. And that's a lot bigger than a basketball game or a hockey game and just, you know, showing replays and playing Rock and Roll Part Two. So we want to go deeper than this in where we are, and there's whys behind all of it. So it's been a fascinating, extraordinary experience for sure. And I'm just honored to be a part of this with LB.
Well, and walk me through, you know, some of those whys as far as building a team, because I think there are a lot of people that listen to this that are, you know, kind of getting their start in the industry, may not be on the managerial side. With you guys as you know, managers and builders of a team, when you're starting something fresh like this, how do you go about picking, you know, the right talent? What are you looking for?
Well, Johnny always says it's people, 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 and you always want high character people. We always want talent. I mean, that's what you always want. We see the videos, we see the creatives that, you know, the stuff that people put out, but not all of those people are going to jive with this. So you got to make sure that when you bring in people, it's about the character, and it's about, you know, how are they going to mesh with the rest of the group. Like every person that we've hired has affected, like when you hire one, it affects the next person. So it's not just like, okay, we're just checking boxes, like we got to get these people filled. We're hiring people that are going to fit the makeup of our team. So it started at, you know, at the top with the Kraken and the leadership that's already in place. And, you know, and once they brought us on, we quickly drank the Kool-Aid and fell right into like, hey, this is what it needs to be. We have to hire people, people, people with high character that are going to be talented, that are going to lift us all up, because it's not the Johnny and Lamont show. It's, you know, it definitely is team.
Love that, LB. It is team, and to use a baseball analogy, like you don't want 9 right-handed sluggers in your lineup. It's great. They're great to have, but you might need 2. Like it's not a good team. You will get beaten, right? If you build a team that way. So there's, like Lamont said, we weren't putting people in boxes. We were building people on top of one another. So when somebody came in, it's like, oh, this is the spirit they bring. This is their creative energy. What complements that the right way? Because there's Emmy Award winners. People have been doing this for 20, 30 years. And it's very humbling. Like they're coming at us with things like, whoa, this is amazing, but not the right fit for what we're doing. Like you got to have the right kind of mix. And building a team from that side it's really exciting, but it's difficult too. Cause you're like, why would you not want this person or this? It's like, there's a bigger play at place here. And it is the people first, and it is the culture that we're building. And we're not building for opening night. We're building for the next 10 years. We're building careers, and we want this creative ensemble to be able to build upon each other and get all these unique opportunities to develop their career, find their trajectories, and define their purposes together, collectively.
So to take a little macro step back from there, when you first came in, were roles defined out on your team? Did you have a set number, and not roles, the incorrect terminology there, but did you have a position number from the top down saying, this is how much you get, this is a general budget number? What was that like, you know, being brand new? Did you come to them with a proposal and a plan and say, this is what we need to make this happen?
Probably we asked for more than what was intended originally. It's probably safe to say. I think in our field, it's like,
that's just good leadership. You always ask for more than you think you're going to get. Come on.
You guys have 5 cameras. It's like, yeah, but maybe we want 12. And then you find like the middle ground. Like it's the same. I think it's the same way with people. You don't want to be indulgent. You know, and there's a business plan in place, and there's sort of like, hey, this is what we're thinking. Does this line up with what you're imagining for the show? But the truth is, and we haven't touched on this yet, but it is the most important part of this whole thing. The fans. Like we got brought here to build out a show for Seattle Sports Entertainment. We got brought here to build out a show for Seattle Kraken Hockey at Climate Pledge Arena. Well, if the fans aren't there, none of us have jobs. So if we don't engage the fans, include the fans, elevate the fans, then we're not doing our job. So really it's the order of all of this is like, start building your team, but know your why as far as the experience you want, and know who your client is, know who your fans are, and build something that doesn't like placate to them, but gives them something that fuels them and champions them and lets them stand on the shoulders of what we're building to lift up. And we'll listen at that point and kind of follow their lead, but making sure we got a good foundation of what Seattle sports fans are, what Seattle sports entertainment is, and then saying, okay, to do that, what they deserve, this is what Lamont and I think for our team as we build. So you kind of have a number and you kind of have some roles, but then you hire somebody, you're like, oh, that person can do this too. Oh, well then that changes over here. We don't need that position. We need something else. So it is constantly like this malleable force of creation that you're building, and knowing who the client is, that's got to be top of mind at all times.
Just kind of walk us through maybe a little bit, you know, entertainment experience and production is your department. That can be defined a lot of different ways. You know, organizations define how they do production a lot of different ways. Sometimes that department might oversee just the in-venue. Sometimes it might include the post-production side as well, the digital side. Like, what does your role entail? What does that department entail with the Kraken?
For us, the entertainment experience and production department, because it's more than just game entertainment, our group is handling the pre-production, the in-arena production, and post-production. So we have those three as the main focus. So we're creating for the entire organization, everything from, you know, just normal little marketing briefs here and there to all the way through the game entertainment space. And then we are also kind of tag teaming on the social digital space. So there's, you know, all of that as well. So when we put the title together, it wasn't just, you know, people to think, oh, well, they're just trying to change up game press. No, it's really, we're more than just game presentations. We are our arm and our tentacles, using our mysterious creature, stretches and touches a lot of parts of the organization.
Yeah, I love that, LB. And I think it was a thoughtful process. And we all saw this with our creative brethren in sports entertainment during the pandemic. Oh, you work game ops? Well, there's no games. What do you do? And it's like, yeah, I guess that's the title, but we do a lot, right? Like, we could all agree with this, right, on this phenomenal Slack channel and beyond. Like,
absolutely.
There's a lot to it. So making sure that for everyone, there's a visibility to, like, kind of just in the title, because unfortunately people judge titles. We want to make sure that that's clear. And we also holistically want to make sure we nail down the brand. Brock, you had mentioned in Notre Dame, your experience, there was an established brand. Well, here we are establishing and defining a brand. So there's your visual brand guidelines. Well, we're going to make it alive and move and three-dimensional. Like, what does that look like now, right? And then there's the sonic style guide too. Like, what does the Kraken sound like as an experience? So you start to really do that. What does the Ice Crew present as, to all be part of, to use Lamont's nomenclature, the tentacles of the brand, but from the core, from the foundation, just making sure that we're buttoned up with brand, with marketing. Like, we talk about ourselves as the production team. We have 20 different clients, and then, you know, hopefully millions of Kraken fans as well for the game experience, or 17,000 at least. But really, hockey operations, we're a service to them. Marketing, we're a service to them. The entertainment experience team, although we're tied together, we're also a service to them. So being aware of a connectivity and messaging and branding, and just how we've all done it, where you're like, you're at a game and you're about to produce a game, and then you're like, oh, did you see what our social team just posted? And you're like, that would have been nice to have. Or they see something and they're like, that video in arena was awesome. That would have been nice to have on social. So it's like, how do we the connective tissue of all of us from the beginning? We're going to make mistakes. We're good at making mistakes. And fortunately, we have leadership who understand that that's part of the creative process. But if we can mitigate some of them early on with kind of a strong foundational atmosphere, environment, safe place to build and develop, hopefully we get to a stronger place as a brand moving forward. everywhere. Our one of our great, great, incredible leaders, Todd Lewicki, he always talks about game operations, that show, that's the manifestation of the brand, right? It's that 3 hour where everything comes to life. And he's not wrong, right? It's true. But there's also a 24 hour cycle we're all a part of now. So how are we constantly being a service to our fans first, giving them what they want, engaging them, helping to show them maybe what they didn't know they wanted as well, and creating an environment, whether it's their environment on their mobile phone or at Climate Pledge Arena, that really energizes them to be a Seattle Kraken fan.
I want to go back to something, Johnny, you said a little bit earlier that ties into brand and the fans, and you said you need to know your client, right? And right now we're talking about the client being the fans. When you two first got there, what was that process like of getting to know the fan base of Seattle, the fan base of a team that didn't exist yet, right? But Seattle as a sports town has existed forever. It's got a very unique history. Was there a formal process? Was there a market research team helping you guys with that? Was it more organic than that? Was it a mix of the two? What was that process like?
Well, when we got here, the beautiful thing is that we had some folks already part of the organization that had already kind of started the process of saying who were going to be hockey fans within the rabid Seattle fan sports fan market. And so our group had already done a lot of case studies, and it was evident that we were going to have a really, really good, solid fan base by the time of, or if you look at how we were signed on as a team. So when they went to get depositors, I think we got 10,000 depositors in 12 minutes to basically become a legit franchise. And then we ended up getting 32,000, and that's a huge significant number for our organization. So with getting that, we already knew, okay, right then and there, that group already found out, hey, we're gonna have a solid base here. And then you had people within the season ticket base, you had people within app and business development who started to kind of, you know, research this group to figure out who they are and what they are and how they function. And as they began to do that, they gathered that information. We came on, they shared that information with us. And then coming into this space, we knew that it was going to be vitally important for us to establish relationships with the other teams that are already here. So one of our first couple of exercises was reaching out to our brethren, our sisters and brethren at the Seahawks, at the Mariners, at UW, you know, to talk to those guys to say, hey, we know that we are new here. Yes, we have experience. I think combined, we have over 40 some odd years of experience in sports and entertainment, but we don't know Seattle, you know? So it was important for us to know, get to know Seattle, get to know the Seattleites and the sports fans here, asking simple questions of, hey, you know, we at the 12s, we know they're loud. Why are they loud? What do you do to make them loud? When they're at a Sounders game, that was the other group. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention the Seattle Sounders, you know, that march to the match. You know, how did you guys go about doing that? What makes it great? How can we take little bits of that to pay homage to these places and bring it into our space? And then when we get them in, you know, how do we make them loud? Is it constantly peppering them with make noise? Or are these guys smart enough to know how to do that stuff on their own? So those are things that we came in right away and we researched. And we had conversations not only with those other sports people, but as many Seattleites as we could. We've talked to and are still learning even to this day.
Yeah, it's a never-ending process. And what Lamont's saying, really, it's we listened. We listened, we listened, we listened. We got here and there was a ton of research done already. Incredible job where it's like, here, take a look. This is what's happening. This is what we're learning. But there's also like going to the gas station and seeing how people interact with each other. It's this weekend I'm going to a Mariners Rays game, right? And I'm going to wear a Rays hat because I want to see how do visiting fans get treated. I want to see what that's like in person. You know, hopefully it's not too bad because I'm going with my kids and my wife. But, you know, like literally riding on the ferry, Lamont and I have done, going to the top of the Space Needle, listening to our leadership all across the board, really listening to Seattleites, right? is flannel and grunge overplayed? Is it a stereotype around here? Because the minute you get this kind of incredible opportunity, all of our friends in the business are like, oh my God, Nirvana and this, and it's like, okay, like probably that stuff, but what else is there? So really digging deeper, and that applies to all of our thoughts as we go, but that also applies to kind of one of the most important things. We talk about our client, our fans, but right after that is your people. So making sure that we're hiring a diverse group of not just hockey people, not just guys, like a mixed unit of people that look, think, feel, act, create differently, but it would behoove us to keep some local flair too. Who's from Washington? Who's from the Pacific Northwest? Because they just know it, right? And to echo Lamont's thoughts, the local teams have opened up their arms and hearts to us so beautifully. And it's been such an awesome thing to get here and be the new kid on the block and be like, oh, are they going to be nice to us? Like the new day, the first day at school. And they've been incredible, like meeting up with them, giving us good direction, telling us, don't do that, you know, because we're like, hey, how about this? And like, no, don't do that. Those kind of things really help. So it's been an elaborate process. But also, as LB said, it never ends. We're not preparing for opening night. We're not preparing for game 10. We're not preparing for what, like, this is a forever evolution. We're all susceptible to improvement, you know, reviewing your games, reviewing your videos, reviewing your teammates, and staying hungry and keeping your foot on the gas. That's a separator. And we plan to stay hungry there.
You guys have both either opened arenas or started new teams, or in some cases, both. What did you learn from those previous experiences that you guys have, you know, either you changed your approach here, or at the very least, you know, taken from those and said, we did this really well, let's do this again? Like, what have been the pluses and minuses that you've taken from past experiences that you've been able to apply here in Seattle?
Every place that you've gone, that I've gone, and I know Johnny's gone, you discover how to fail fast. Because every time you go, you want to try something new. You want to be able to create cool things because you have these grandiose ideas in your head. And every idea that you come up with is not going to stick. So it's going to be over the years, just in general. It's not even with starting anything new. It's with every team, even if they're established. Like I going to St. Louis, an original 12, as I like to say. There were things that I wanted to do, and you get that reaction from either the staff or the crowd, and you're like, that didn't work. Let's move on to something that is going to work. So those are the things that I have learned really quickly and how to fail. And then it goes back to people. We don't know everything. I will be the first person to raise my hand, you know, as things are going on, to say, yeah, I don't know what that is, or I don't know what in the world you just said. You got to break it down for me. So being humble enough to say I'm not an expert in everything, and being willing to learn and always listen is something else that I've also learned.
One of the greatest qualities I think anyone can have, and it's what Lamont just said, and he has it, which is great, is like the self-awareness and confidence to be like, ooh, I don't know that, teach me. Like, how badass is that? You know, like to not be like, yeah, I know how the flux capacitor works. Yeah, sure. Like, it's a really powerful quality of teammates, is just being honest, honestly. I would say one of the things that was something that none of us want to do again is like when you start a franchise, is think of it as only game one. There's so much more. There is the game two, there is the game three, and trying to have like a library of content and skits and audio library, like it's a triple overtime playoff, Stanley Cup playoff thriller for your first game. It's just not realistic. So the burnout and trying to, like, honestly, work-life balance, making sure you step away. We all know this, trying to grind and create gets laborious, gets tiring, you're fatigued. You start like a hamster wheel where you're just not as smart as you normally would be, versus go for a hike, go have dinner with your spouse, play with your kid, just do something different. And then you come back and you're like, got it. Like, ooh, this was that thing I was slamming my head against the wall for 12 hours yesterday on. So kind of having the wherewithal to step away, to just reset, is, I think, really, really important as well. There's a lot of lessons, though, from, like Lamont said, the mistakes you make with a new team. And probably one of the big lessons is understand you're going to make a lot of mistakes because it's the first time for everything. It's not like, hey, do we have that shot of that? It's like, no, you don't. Hey, do we have, no, you don't. No, like you don't have any of it. None of it's happened. What about the code of conduct for the ice cream? No, because we don't have one. Like all of these things are the first. So just being very realistic with timelines, being very realistic with your people, and knowing that there is a game two and a game three and a game 30. I think that that's stretching out the timeline helps a little bit too.
The one thing that I will add that I know we were talking about 20 years ago that, you know, maybe those two franchises came in and even maybe it was the Texans going into their building. Maybe that was already, you know, a thing there too. But all of those teams coming in, yes, they started from scratch. But the one thing that we can say is the Seattle Kraken, none of them had to do it during the middle of a pandemic.
Right.
So that's,
did that make it that different is, somehow? Was that
just we've hired 12 people and I've never seen their lower halves. I don't even know if they wear shoes. I meet people and I'm like, holy, you're 6'8". I thought everyone was like 3'6" because that's what Zoom is. Like, it's comical seeing people in person. You're like, do we hug or fist bump or I don't know what to do. That's hilarious. Good point, Lamont. That made it a little different, hasn't it?
You win. Just hold that over everyone forever at this point.
No.
That's not a win we want.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness we're slowly getting there on the other side.
No, I think you brought up something really interesting there about being okay to fail, right? And that it's okay to make mistakes. I had an executive producer the other day give me an analogy of, we don't expect the team to win every game. The team can lose, right? And it's not good, but you can get better from it. But some departments have this expectation that you can't fail. And it's like, how is that, you know, especially in a sports focused industry, how can you have that mentality, right? When you can see failure on the field and you can grow from it, how can you not have that in your department along with it, right? So I think that's a great stance to take, you know, and always the culture I like working in is, let's try it. And if we fail, we'll learn from it and move on. Right. I think that's a great place to be. So you've both gotten into this position, you've built your teams, and now you have to start thinking content. You have a name, you have a brand. Now comes the fun part, you know, what's that been like and where are you guys at in that process right now?
I think it is the fun part, which is great. The important part is the people, and we're close. We haven't hired all of our people yet, but when you do that part in a good way, the other stuff is a lot easier and it gets a lot crazier and it gets a lot more wild and it allows a better work-life balance when you bring in people and you develop the culture collectively. There's a lot to build. Again, it kind of, you're laying out the timeline. We've got a NHL expansion draft coming up, you know, big deal where our team gets defined. So we have a mini runway to July 21st, where there's this world-class event that's going to be happening in our backyard, where people get to kind of the first public facing experience for our fans, but also your team gets like announced, here we go, here are your players. And so building up to that, to be able to create a lot of social content during that time. And then our archival content, right? Because that footage of your players first ever coming out in your gear at your home city, like that stuff lives on forever. So we want to make sure that we cover that the right way. And then there'll be a shift after that, where looking at our brand guidelines, and our brand team has done such a bang up job with just phenomenal, like, rules and not even rules, but like these guidelines, these elastic guidelines of how we kind of play in this super bendy sandbox. And then we start building out a show, and you look at any show, and depending on the sport, but hockey has its like tent pole moments, these really big spots in the game that, you know, you got to crush. You got a goal moment is this celebration. There's these opportunities for interactivity. What does that look like? The power play is a big moment. What does that look like? But you have a lot of different lines working together towards a collective lighthouse, you know, as we move forward. So we're all kind of, how we get there is a little bit different, but we all are going towards the same way. And it's to have your game frame in place. What does a game look like? What does the rundown look like? If you have hosts, what are they talking about? If you have a PA announcer, what is he or she supposed to be saying here? How do you activate on the power play? What does the mascot look like, or what's its tone? All of these things kind of come together, and there's a lot. It's a lot. So you track it. You kind of just look at it, because if you start thinking about all of it, your head will explode. You just simple, small wins. If you think about what we're about to do at once, you'll fail. We'll fail. We'll go crazy. There's no way it can really happen. So we don't think of that. We think of what can we do today, right? And then what can we do tomorrow? And what? And you just keep building and building and building and just moving that puck down the ice. And then all of a sudden, after a while, you're like, whoa, like, look where we are. Who would have thought this? So it's that fine line of pushing, that refresh, like reset a little bit, keep pushing, refresh, let your leaders lead and creators create. And let's see where it ends up. You know, the work's been done. There's a lot more work to be done, but we're where we are supposed to be in this process. And we're excited to see what it ends up looking like for sure. But we have some time before that. So we're okay waiting.
As you're putting all of this content together, what is your mindset as far as, you know, how you're going about building a show or coming up with ideas? I mean, how do you kind of unify everything that you're having to create right now?
Content has been king for a long time, but now again, it is the quality of the story, not the quality of the production that leads. It's great. We always talk about the story over sexy. Like, you can be as sexy as you want. We've all been a part of the $100,000 opens that fall flat and you're like, God, nice effects, but what the hell did I just see? Versus, wow, that was really plain, but holy cow, that hit me. Like this guttural reaction. Like I want to run through a wall because it was a good story. So keeping that in line when you're looking at all these budgets and all these, do you want all the himillators and flux capacitors? And it's like, sure, awesome. What's the story? And as long as we're keeping that in line, we can enhance it with all of these cool added, you know, elements, the shininess, but sexy before story, it's a recipe for disaster.
We literally just talked about this on our last episode, like literally just our last episode, right? It was in the context of not on technology, which we've talked about before, but in the context of length, right? Where we had this, I don't want to rehash it for people who listen to the podcast every week, but the length of this, of content on social, right? And how it's went from early days social media. Nobody wants more than 30 seconds, right? That was the thing, right? Well, then I think people realized, or when people started cutting the cord, they said, well, long form content is dead, right? We're not going to do long form content. And it's long form content, short form content, neither are ever dead as long as it's good content. Good content is never dead. People will always watch good content. And I think that comes back to the technology, the technology side of things too, is, you know, you don't need the best tech. And I think that segues well into you're building a new department. You're getting gear, but you're doing it during a pandemic and you're modifying some of this. What has that looked like in planning and scoping out, you know, gear and kits and I don't want to get too into the weeds on the technical side, but how has that shifted and changed during this pandemic and maybe shifted your approach?
Yeah, I think the overall approach is we're being hopeful that it'll be as normal as can be. Like we sort of had to plan for that from way back when. But the when we look at softwares and hardwares that we know will stick around and not be a bad thing is the streaming softwares, is the secondary screen experiences, which, you know, The Walking Dead did it. But like, that's a thing now. Like if you're not there, how do you do it? And if you have a high tide waiting list of these incredible, passionate Seattle hockey sports fans, what are we gonna do to make sure that we can engage them, connect with them, and make sure that they get to be part of this experience if they can't be in the bowl? So making sure that we're, to your point, Brock, earlier, creating a great story and experience for people, but not just in arena, not just on your phone, having the right tools to tell the story, which the story is you matter. We're listening to you. You're a part of this Kraken family. And let's engage as long as we can, wherever you are on the planet. And there's tools to support that, but making sure that we know what our narrative is first before you buy the tools helps. There's the standard tools that we all do. But like you said, that secondary screen experience, the streaming, because your players are all over the country, all over North America, all over the world, because you have announcements coming out. And it's like, well, they're not going to physically be here because until just recently, you couldn't be in the same space anyway. And you can't, you know, isolate or quarantine a cameraman in or camerawoman in North Carolina because your GM might be out there or Wisconsin because this next person's out there. Like you can't do that functionally. You got to just roll with it to tell the right story. So There's a lot to do, and it's been a wild ride, but it is pretty fascinating just to listen to society, to listen to people who create for a living like us, and to make sure that you're on the cusp of what's new, but you're also, if it works, it works. And good story never gets old.
Good story never gets old. I love it. That's just exactly what it is. And I say that as someone who loves story. That is my world, is story. So but I think the people look a lot at features and documentaries and that being a little more story, but game producers are telling a story, social media producers are telling a story. There's everything needs to be a story. And if you look at it that way, then, that's when content thrives.
It does. It's funny. There's a lot of digital social teams that come out and it's like, we made 1200 posts last year in content. And like, you know how we show that we've grown? We're going to do 1300 this year. And it's like, whoa, that is quantity versus quality. Like, that is definitely not the way to judge what success is. Like, are you telling a great story that engages people, feels right, lands? More is very, very, very rarely better for all of this. And it is the social realm in the pandemic space really opened up eyes to who's on it, who's nimble enough to bend and stretch a little bit with their own brand guidelines, and who's responsive to the collective like vibration of humanity. Cause you have your own brand, but then there's also the worldwide brand, which was a pandemic, not a good brand, but like it was there. Like, how are we listening to that and cultivating a brand message that fits with what's going on? There's maybe a Heineken spot that came out recently, and it was so funny. And it was all these people like getting used to being out again for the first time and like sharing a soda with somebody. It's like, is it okay? And it's like we aren't used to it, right? It's like Talladega Nights, where it's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, we don't know what to do like with each other. Like, do we hug? Like, I'm a hugger. I want to hug you, Garrett. I want to hug you, Brock. Like, virtually can't do it. When I see you, we can. But like, people, you just don't know how to literally function as humans anymore. It's very strange. And again, that Slack channel is part of that, where people are lifting each other up, looking after each other. Podcasts like this are what that's about, is helping one another out, teeing other people up for success and wins in their journeys and their careers. And just really, really happy to hang with you guys today, spend some time with you guys today. And just thanks for doing a podcast like this for the nerds, for the creatives out there who love this stuff, because it does matter. We've learned that this year, right? We've all done, I'm not a surgeon. I'm not curing cancer. I'm not saving lives. And, you know, and I've said this before, but a few people I really respect have said this, so I'm stealing it from them. Like, we don't save lives in the moment. You don't cure cancer. But for 3 hours, you take people somewhere else. You take someone on a journey, on a love affair with hockey, on this wild ride, where for maybe 3 hours they forget they have cancer, and having hope and having joy in your life, that's a powerful, powerful thing. And that's an honor, an obligation, a responsibility. All of us as storytellers, as producers, whether you're a single A baseball team doing the Super Bowl itself or the World Cup or the Olympics, like, all of it matters, whether it's two fans or 200,000 fans putting in that work. There's an honor in that, because you do lift people's spirits. You do make people feel a little better about their day or their life. And that's powerful. So it's an honor to be a part of this. And just thanks again, you guys, for doing this kind of thing. This is super cool.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe